You're listening to a message from Every Nation GTA. For more information, please visit our website at everynationgta.org.
I'll just go ahead and introduce myself. So I'm Alex Villas. I've been a member of Every Nation GTA. I've been attending for about like almost 2 years now. And before I start, I'd like to introduce the family, the Villas family who's in here. So over the weekend, last weekend, of course, we were traveling, as Pastor Bert mentioned. So we traveled to Ottawa, and it's the first time to get there. So that's my son, Josh, and Gab, who's very excited to get there and see the Parliament Hill, you know. So she just woke up, so just grab her, and then, oh, let's have a picture. And then, of course, my wife there. So it's fun. It's really a fun road trip. It's the first time for us to travel, like 4.5 hours drive. Imagine with Gab there. So, Mommy, Daddy, how long is it there? Are we all there? How long does it take? Anyway, so the fun part for me personally is the visit to the War Museum. So I'm very much fascinated with war history, weaponry, strategy, or even artifacts. It's not that like I'm a violent guy and I'm wanting war, but it's just the fascination. I'm an engineer by education, so I'm very fascinated about like how they build things, their strategy. But one thing that really caught my attention when I visited the War Museum is this. That's a Japanese balloon bomb. So it's like a series of bombs. It's attached to a hot air balloon. It's the least damaging bomb that I could tell from what I've seen so far. So it's attached to a hot air balloon meant to travel from maybe Japan across to North America. And least damaging because the intention really is to distract the people and sow fear across the North Americans. So the intention is like create maybe forest fire or the bombs here and there would say, I mean, would make North Americans fear that, oh, the war is coming over to North America. So that's just the intention, right? So, and anyway, my takeaway for that is like, oh, thank God that's over. Like, thank God the war is over. So leaving, whew, there goes my fascination. I leave it inside the War Museum. So as my parents, grandparents would say too, oh, thank God the post-war is peacetime, right? So I'm thankful that it's peacetime. But then thinking about the preaching that I have today, so is it really peaceful during these days? Is the absence of war, the absence of countries conquering each other really meant peace, right? Recently we have heard like Toronto, think about Toronto, right? It's really peaceful here. Or we'd say, oh, it's generally peaceful because like a couple of weeks ago, we have a student getting stabbed in the mall. Like, whoa, what's happening here, right? So, and so that becomes, the peace now becomes relevant, right? It depends on where you put it, okay? Where you would use that term peace, right? The peaceful situation is now depending on which spectrum you're in. Right, it's generally peaceful, but sometimes you know there's violence. In another parallel, for example, purity. Okay, when do we say a person is really pure? Is the absence of a physical sexual interaction with another person makes you pure? How about like viewing one porn clip? Okay, now that makes you impure, right? Or is it really that way? Is there something about, how about addiction? How about alcoholism? And all the other parallels, right? Is the absence of not doing things or doing things makes you good or bad? Or is it really a continuum or spectrum of things, right? And that's what we have been reading or learning about in this series that we have, Grace Changes Everything, right? It's really not about how much you have complied with or how much you have violated with. It's all about God's grace enabling us to do what's good, what we were intended for, what we were created for. It's not all about ticking the box, you know, I've done this, I have not done this, therefore I am good. No, it's all about God's grace. It's God's grace that enables us, okay, to do what we were called for. And this is, so let's pray as we delve on the points for today. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time and moment, oh God, that we can hear your words, oh God, being preached today. Lord, we submit to you, God, myself and everyone here, oh God, like that you work through our hearts, like open up our hearts and our minds that we will hear from you and enable us, oh God, to live also what we will be hearing from today, oh God, in Jesus' name, Amen. So let's jump into our scriptures for today, starting off with Galatians 5, 16 to 18. So this one will walk us through the contrast between the desires of the flesh, ourselves, and walking in the Spirit. So Galatians 5, 16 to 18 says, "But I say, walk in the Spirit, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of your flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing things that you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law." So what Paul presented to us in this scripture is the contrast between the desires of our flesh and walking in the Spirit. So desires of the flesh represents the sinful desires of a godless nature, an unredeemed nature which is severed from God. And because of that godless nature, we were separated from God. We try to catch up with God based on the laws, rules, and regulations which we have. Okay, if you do A, B, C, you'll be much closer to God. But then again, looking at what we have heard so far, we will never be able to catch up or get close to God just because you have done A, B, C. Even you do A, B up to Z, you do A1 up to Z1, whatever, okay, you will not be able to reach that close. You'll never be this close to God, right? It's not that complying with certain laws that makes you or gets you saved. And then on the contrast, the desires of the Spirit, what's being presented here also. Spirit imparts life and holiness. Okay? As we have heard from last week as well, it gives us freedom. The freedom without struggle, okay, to act in godly behaviors. Okay? It's not about I'm doing ABC, therefore I'm godly. No, it's about the grace of God, the Holy Spirit working through us that allows us to do what we are supposed to do. That we were being sided on to the side of God. And that freedom also is not about YOLO. You only live once, right? Like, I can do anything I want because I am saved. Therefore, I can jump off the cliff, whatever I want, God will save me. Hoo la la. Right? It's about YOLO. YOLO. You only die once. Right? You only die once. Why don't you make it right? Make sure that even if you die today, you will go to heaven. You get close. You will be saved. Why don't we act, behave, whatever we're designed to do so that we can be ensured of that spot in the heavens, right? And it's not about the feelings, okay? It's not about not feeling the desires of the flesh, okay? Being free doesn't free us from I have this urge, I have this temptation. It's not freedom from that. It's freedom from gratifying the desires of the flesh. We are being freed. We're not being forced anymore. I can feel the desires, but then again, oop, thank you, Lord. I can do without those things, right? So that's what we're being taught here. Now, the thing is, how do we go from flesh into the desires of the Spirit? How do we go now from walking and living according to the desires of our flesh into walking and according to the desires of the Spirit? So the second part of our text for today brings us to this, Galatians 5, 19 to 25. "Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like this. I warn you as I warned you." Now the works of the flesh are evident. Okay? Works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity. Okay? Why is it? Right. Anyway, you got the point. Okay. So if we live by the Spirit, let's also keep inside by the Spirit. Alright. So let's not be conceited and provoking one another, envying one another. I'm using my script here. Anyway, so change comes by the grace of God through the Holy Spirit. Okay? It is a process. Based on what we have read, we are going from the works of the flesh, okay, being processed and transformed into fulfilling the desires or the work of the Holy Spirit. So let's go through three stages of the process from transforming ourselves from works of the flesh the life and walking in the Spirit. So the process of change goes into three stages. Number one, change requires acknowledgement. Okay? It requires us to acknowledge that the sinful nature of ourselves, the unredeemed nature of ourselves, okay, cannot give us or bring us to a salvation that we ought to do. Number two is change requires time. Doesn't happen overnight. Okay? It doesn't happen like, I decide today, tomorrow, make sure I'll be saved. No, it requires time. Number three, change requires transformation. Requires evidence of the change, right? And let's go through some of the pointers there. How can we know? How can we know that we have already been transformed? What are the evidences that tells us that we are being transformed by the Holy Spirit? So number one, okay, let's dive into that. Change requires acknowledgement. I'd say, okay, it requires acknowledgement and it's guaranteed. That's why we need to acknowledge. It's guaranteed, okay, by human nature. Or left to ourselves, left unguarded, we are capable of doing what was listed a while ago, right? If you will just go through it, works of the flesh are evident, sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, and so on and so forth, right? It's guaranteed that without God, left to ourselves, at least one or two or three, or maybe all of those, we are capable of doing. Not one of us can be proud and say, oops, I am proud. I am not doing those. I will not do those. I haven't done. Not even my family have done and fell on from those sins. Therefore, I will be free. Right? So first thing off is a guarantee. So we need to acknowledge that we are capable of doing things. For example, a child. Okay, a child. Without intentional teaching, selfishness is almost automatic. Right? Like a young kid, like 2 years old, 3 years old, put it in the kids' church, for example, or in a kid's play date, right? You always have to remind them, sharing is caring, right? You have to teach, because otherwise, what will they do? That's my toy. Even if they just come there without anything, they will see one, oh, that's my toy. Nobody can use that, right? So we always have to remind, because in Proverbs, it says, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. Without even teaching them to be selfish, it's automatic. Boom. Right? And then my story. Well, I seem to be calm. Why? Quiet. But I have a bad temper, actually. Like, even before coming to Christ, okay? I'm even called back then, Alex Guerrero. So for those, like, Guerrero means warrior. I'm not a warrior who, like, whew, Alex will defend us. You know, I'm not that kind of warrior. I'm a warrior that, like, people would avoid. Like, I have a short fuse. Like, when I'm hungry, I get hangry. Right? I'm the kind of person who will, like, oops, there goes Alexi, let's go. Go somewhere else. I'm that person. Really. And I tried to fix that, but I couldn't. Right? And even big names in the Bible also have fallen into those things. Like, I mean, let's say David, like a man after God's own heart. Okay? He beat Goliath. Right? But then, years into his life, one battle, he was not into that battlefield. Okay? Watching over his land, he saw a lady named Bathsheba taking a bath. And what happens next? Slept with her. And then, of course, tried to fix it. Trying to get away with it. What did he do? He called up, he wrote to Uriah, hey, bro, what's up? Why don't you get rest, come back home, and spend time with your wife? Just so it can cover up what he has done, right? So imagine, like, David, whoa, the king. How can you even think of these things? But then again, these are, like, the nature. Like, it doesn't mean that, okay, you're already in that position. Doesn't mean you might fall. That's why it's important that we acknowledge that we will be capable of doing these things. It's guaranteed. We need help, right? And affiliations, last names, or whatsoever doesn't also save us, right, for not doing those things. Even if you, and I'm just saying, even you keep on attending small groups, attending this church, okay, Sunday after Sunday, I have my shoes there, no? Sunday after Sunday, okay, if there's no real submission into the grace of God, okay, we will be able to fall and do those things, right? That was mentioned. But that is not what we were designed for. Take note. That is not what we were called for. Okay, we were not created according to God's image for nothing. We were designed by God, okay, for His glory. In Ephesians, Paul, same author, said, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus." For what? For good works. Okay? Didn't say therefore sexual immorality for impurity. No. We were created in Christ Jesus for good works which God prepared beforehand. Even before we were born. That's already what God has in mind. That we should also what? Walk in them. That's our calling, brothers and sisters. So first point there is to acknowledge that we are broken vessels that we will be unable to repair by ourselves. Affiliation as well does not fix that. Okay? We need to acknowledge that we need external help. Okay? We need somebody who can fully fix, like a broken cup. However you put it together with a super glue, okay, it has like holes. Okay? You cannot use it. Okay? You need certain help, okay, to fix that and make it useful. And what? How do we do that? As Peter was said, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So that's the key. Repent, turn around 180 degrees, boom, let's go, sir. Okay? Not, boom, oh, I'm here again. No, 180, okay? Turn around, repent and be baptized, and accept Jesus Christ as our only help, as our only hope, okay, to turn away and turn back from those, what the Bible says, sins. As we have seen in the verse 16, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Okay? It's the power of the Holy Spirit to Jesus Christ that will enable us not to gratify. As you can see also in the next point that I was mentioned a while ago, it requires time though. Right? Some people, maybe a few here and there, like maybe Paul, that the instant, boom, they have transformed. But for most of us, it takes time. It takes a lot of trials and error. Like a lot of time for, let me do this. But sometimes you may fail. Next slide. Yeah. So, takes time. So ups and downs, like, you know, it takes a while for us to really get there. But the desire is really not for us to be reaching that perfect time. The desire for us is for at least to go move from glory to glory. To see one of those like habits or what we have been doing before being like an onion. Like you peel one by one until you see what's inside of it. Right? Now I was asking, like in verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit, you know, before we even see the transformation, the fruit of the Spirit. That's the other version. I was asking, well, why fruit? Why didn't Paul just say, but because you have accepted the Holy Spirit, you will become so and so, right? I was asking why fruit? Because fruit represents the change, okay, that it takes time. For you to witness, okay, the fruit, the seed has to be buried itself. It has to be buried under the soil. The hard shell has to be taken out, okay, before the roots can come out and establish itself in the soil. So there has to be within us a surrender, okay? Bringing down our guards. Lord, I cannot do this by myself. I need help. I need to plant myself in the Word, okay, before it even grows. And you will have to see first the trunk, the branches, the leaves, before we can even see the fruits. So that's for me, that's my wow. Maybe that's why. That's why Paul used the word fruit instead of just saying, you will become and you will change. And it takes a lot, because it takes a lot of unlearning, undoing, and redoing, okay? And maybe rewiring for us. For most people, maybe just a few switches here and there, but for most people, it's really a lot of time for God to really rework. But one thing that God impressed to me while I was preparing, God does not need to redesign us. We were already designed to do those what was listed here. Maybe because of just our sinful nature that we reverted back. Okay? So God just need to help us unlearn and relearn, undo and redo, but doesn't need to redesign because He already knows. It's been written there. Okay? We were designed to do good works in Jesus Christ. So let's see the transformation, part three there. So change requires transformation. When we say we have to go through change, we have to see the evidence. What has happened? Okay? What are you turning into? Okay? Like the tree. Okay? An apple tree, you can tell an apple tree is really an apple tree by the apple fruit. Correct? And you have to wait. Okay, there's a tree growing, branches, flowers, and everything. But you can really not tell unless you're, I don't know, what you call that, horticulturist or whatever, right? You know, by the leaves itself, by the trunk, you can determine it's apple. But for me, no. Unless I see the apple, I cannot say it's an apple, right? I may mistake. Like when we were driving down to Niagara, we see some vines or shrubs along the highway. My wife and I would always debate, is that a grapevine or an apple tree? Because we've been on an apple farm. Like we see, it's like an apple farm. Like I see, it's not an apple tree because it seems like a shrub only. So it stuck in my head that it has to be like small thing. And now I see winery. Vines. Like from the highway, it looks like apple tree. So it must be an apple tree. No, it's grape, whatever. Anyway, so the point is, yeah, you can determine, okay, what the tree is by its fruits. So there. So the third point today is this. Ta-da. There you go. Okay. Transformation, right? From where we were before into something, okay? See, like a butterfly, okay? It doesn't have to change, okay? I mean, it changes over a period of time, okay? But you can see, you can tell, right? It's a butterfly once it has come out, right? Now, the question is, now we talk about transformation. For some of us, oh, wow, this is really new for me. But for most of us, maybe I've heard about the teachings already. It's not new. But let's have a test. Huh? Get a pen and paper. We're in the school, university, so let's check off based from this. It says the fruit of the Spirit is da da da. Why don't we check off? Okay. So these are the evidences. These are what we call the fruit of the Spirit. Like if you are walking in the Spirit, like one of these, if not all of these, will be evident in your life. Right? So it says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There's 9 into it. How many have we checked off? No? It's interesting, right? But it's not really, it's not about the complete thing. I need to have the 9, okay? It's where we are heading into that really matters most, okay? Those things will come naturally as we surrender our lives, as we walk in the Spirit. So it says there, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh, okay? With its passions and desires. That helps us to forget what was behind, that we can go forward. Okay, even if you don't see those 9 happening in your life, the Holy Spirit helps you to fight the good fight. Run the race. It's not about the finish line that you have to get there. It's about the journey getting there. It's not about a competition of who's better. Why is he better than me? No, it's not about them. It's about me and Jesus Christ, and where we are heading. So if we have surrendered our lives to Christ, and we are walking in the Spirit, our nature is being transformed from a human, sinful, fleshly nature into a godly one. Our flesh with passions and desires have been crucified with Jesus Christ. And as we continue to walk in the Spirit, it should not come as a surprise. As C.S. Lewis said, if we let the power of the Holy Spirit work in our lives, it says, therefore, we can't prevent him if we choose to, right? We can say, oop, not that area, Lord, please, Oh, not that box, Lord. No, but if we surrender our lives, we can say, everything I surrender and I focus on you. If we let him work in our lives, he will make the feeblest and the filthiest of us into a what? Dazzling, radiant, immortal creature, pulsating all through with such energy and joy and wisdom and love as we cannot know, now imagine. A bright, stainless mirror, take note, stainless mirror which reflects back to God perfectly. His own boundless power and delight and goodness. As we let God work in our lives, slowly we'll be being transformed until and up to that point wherein it can already reflect God's glory. And that's not just for us. It's also for other people to see that I am being transformed, that we are being transformed because of, imagine a huge mirror I'm holding on my hand. When you see me, you see God, right? That's the intention. I'm being transformed so that I can reflect God's glory. And again, that's the promise also for us, right? If we let God work in our lives. It's all about our surrender to the work of God in our lives. It's not about who we were. That's already in the past. It's not about who we are, as in today as well. It is about who we are becoming. Like a clay in the hands of a potter. You may be like filthy looking, yucky, icky clay, right? But as we as the clay surrenders itself to the potter, being molded, right? It doesn't change into a very nice vase at the end of like 5-10 minutes, maybe. But all throughout, it reshapes altogether. Okay? And even to that, the potter may say, oops, not what I want. Let me do it again. Da-da-da-da. Right? Boom. There you go. Nice vase. Right? So we are being transformed from that clay. Okay? And it's not about how we look like during the process. The potter is focused on what I want this clay to be. The potter is focused on the designs it has in mind at the end of that procedure. Right? But again, it all throughout the process, it may not look that way, but the potter sees differently from what we can see. So our challenge for today, so we're about to close. There are three parts into the stage, right? Change requires the acknowledgement, like who we can really become, what we really are without Christ, without God, and what we really need. Okay, for us to fix it. Okay, and change requires time as well. You may have accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior. You may have surrendered your life, but you haven't seen the fruits yet. Let me just tell you, like me, we moved here to Canada like 2.5 years ago, like and a couple of months back, maybe a year ago. So I've been with the church for quite some time now. So one time we were driving with the family. It's a huge 6-lane. Not really highway. So we are the 3-lane side and I'm on the extreme right. Okay, and I'm on the stop turned red. I'm on the first line there. And then the guy behind us kept on inching closer. And it's like I was watching on the rear view. Of course, the insurance here is too expensive, right? So I'm checking like, oops, make sure you don't bump me, right? I don't want to add like additional dollars on my end, on my insurance just because of your whatever, right? So I keep on watching then. The light turned green because I thought he was just turning right. So when I see the green, I make sure, okay, I sped up a little bit. Okay. But before I release my foot on the brake pedal, before I can even press the gas pedal, he honked. Beep. Hey, what do you think you're doing? Like it just turned green, right? So in my head, like, what are you doing? Right. So I kept on driving. Like middle of the road, I haven't even crossed the median line there. I saw him like, I saw him from the rearview mirror. He was doing this. He was like, "What? I'm driving. What's my mistake here?" Right? And then I kept on driving again. The big honk came in like, "Kark!" Oh, and then of course my Alex Guerrero again came back. Right? And I repented. Don't worry, I repented after that. But I'm just telling you, like, you know what I did? I stepped on the brake, put my car on park, and then relaxed. You can honk all you want. I'm already in the median. Like 2 seconds, if I see yellow, boom, I can cross the street. Right? Is it cool, no? But not. It's not. All right? It's not. The guy at the back would have like passed over me with a baseball bat, or worse, could have been a gun, right? Shot at me, and then there goes your, you're attending the church, huh? You're speaking in front, huh? There you go. Rest in peace, bro. Right? And again, that's what I'm trying to say. Like, we are in the process. We may not see those fruits yet. But it doesn't mean like, oh, God is like surrendering already, right? No. As long as we keep holding on to God's promises, we'll be changed according to His glory from one stage after the other. Just hang on there, bro. All we need is acknowledgement. Keep on surrendering, even if it takes time. Okay? Because again, YOLO. You only die once, bro. Okay, why don't you make it correct? Make it right with God. That's where we are heading anyway, if you surrender, right? So, let me just close in prayer with that. Heavenly Father, Lord, we submit to you, God, our hearts and our minds, O God. Lord, we seek your Spirit, O God, to expose to us, Lord, which stage we are in. Are we still in that stage of not acknowledging the help that we need from you? That we still don't know that we are really broken? Lord, meet us today. Meet us this afternoon, Lord God. And we have surrendered, it's really taking time, Lord, we pray for encouragement even right now. Lord, we pray for the pat in the back to say, let's go on, that you are with me, that we are in this together, that you are walking beside me even. Lord, may we hear from you, may we feel from you. And Lord, even if we are not seeing the fruits yet, Lord, may we see through your eyes, may we see and witness through your eyes, okay, where we will be and what we can become. And it's not about what we want to be, where we want to be. May we see like a potter. Okay, may we see at least a glimpse of the vase that you are forming. Okay. Lord, may we be encouraged this morning, Lord, that our future is still in good hands with you. Lord, we thank you, God, that your Holy Spirit, oh God, just work in our lives from this morning onwards. Lord, the grace of God that changes everything, changes our perspective, changes our ways, changes our strategy, changes our whole being, God, and allow us to be able to walk with you in you alone, Lord God. May we surrender everything, O God, into your keeping, into your hands, at the foot of the cross. May we surrender to you our titles. May we surrender to you the names that we have. May we surrender to you the affiliations that we have, the education that we have, the standing position in the community. Lord, we say, it's all about you, Jesus. It's all about you. Only through you that we can witness the goodness and the fruits that we are hoping that we could be. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to a message from Every Nation GTA. Thanks for joining us. For more information, visit our website at everynationgta.org.